a sip of the lip, sank my ship. My tongue and thoughts is burning. I bet you got a burning question. The proof is in the pudding. A sip of the lip, sank my ship. My tongue and mouth is burning, and it's not for the reader to digest. It's a hard act to swallow. Not for the reader to digest. It's a hard act to swallow. Not for the reader to digest. It's a hard act to swallow. Not for the reader to digest. It's a hard act to swallow. Are you listening to Fresh Air Community Radio? KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis or online at kfai.org. Well, so am I.
Me too!
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org. Non-commercial and community-powered radio. Support for this program comes from KFAI listener members and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and listeners like you. Chi miigwech. Bonjour, relatives across our great Turtle Island and beyond. This is Deanna Standing Cloud, your host for the next hour on Medicine Bundle, the show celebrating Indigenous people and our allies as we creatively embrace our gifts of healing and connection. What's in your medicine bundle?
Time just at me and say it with your chest. Last time I saw you, you couldn't say less. You playing checkers, but I'm playing chess. Well, you act like my ex got a lot to address. How am I pretending resi when I'm booked on the red? How am I pretending and blood quantum's in the red? Got a tribal ID if you wanna act like the feds. Supposed to be a gorilla, so let me show you what that is.
Bonjour, Twin Cities. You're listening to Medicine Bundle. This is your hostess, D-Ray Deanna Standing Cloud. And I'm very excited for tonight's show because I have a guest with me in the studio, and that's always kind of my favorite way to visit. I do a lot of like Zoom calls and things, but it's awesome when we share space. So I'm looking forward to a conversation here. We have a special guest, Travis Bush, and I'm actually going to just step aside and let him introduce himself in his own way. Go right ahead.
Oh, my dog, y'all be... Nah.
Trying to be just stoic. Holy smokes, that guy.
What up, y'all? This is Travis Bush. I live here in Little Earth. We've been here about 15 years. I'm a single father and my two girls. And I'm enrolled in Sistin Wapten Oyate. We're a Badewa Kantua, Kawach Betua, Hamachado, Dakota. And I'm also enrolled in Mohawk Council of Gunawage, which is in Quebec, Canada. And that's on my father's side. But we've been here about 15 years in South Minneapolis. I grew up on the west side of St. Paul. And, yeah.
So you spent most of your early life in St. Paul? So that's what you're saying? Like, mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I grew up, and I'm very much rooted in the Twin Cities here. Mm-hmm. We've been Minneapolis, South Minneapolis. My mom was Yvonne Leith, and she was... during the 90s, mid to late 90s, I believe, if my memory serves me correct, she was the director at Center School.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we've, and then, and plus there would be ceremonies here. There was a lot of ceremonies here in Minneapolis because South Minneapolis is, to me, is like the heart of Minneapolis, mm-hmm. maybe even the Twin Cities. But we've had like both from the west side to the south side, kind of that connection. You know, just what's wrong with all the natives are over here.
Crazy. My dad was actually, well, I don't know if he was the director, but I just called him the principal at mm-hmm. Center School for maybe at least a couple of years. I remember because we lived right on 24th and Bloomington. Mm-hmm. So in that alley, that's where Center School was. I was like two buildings away from Center School growing up. So when my dad, he didn't live with it at our house, but when he was the principal, I remember walking over because there was a graduation. My cousin Maya was graduating. So I just walked in the alley to go to the graduation. So it was because he was the principal.
Yeah.
So I wonder what year your mom was over there.
It was during the 90s. I know that it was mm-hmm. mid to late 90s. I know this because my daughter's mom, mm-hmm. She went to Center School at the same time.
So oh, okay.
She knew my mom. She remembered her.
She met her before she met you?
Yeah.
Shut it.
Yeah, for real. They knew each other. And I don't think she liked my mom, but my mom was very strict, you know, very super Dakota, if you will, you know, and very strict, very not our, like, big cushy grandma vibes, you know
yeah.
what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah. You can get intimidated by that if you know, mm-hmm. if you're not around those vibes. But that's what we need, I feel like, in our community is that vibe again with the kunshis and, like, kind of, like, a little bit of scared and being nervous around them. Because mm-hmm. I feel like the kids now, they're just, I'm not, like, trying to, because I have kids myself, but they just need to be scared of somebody
yeah.
a little bit, not too much, but, like, just so that they, I don't know if that's old school or not. We were just talking about what generation we belong to. I'm Gen X. Like, I was born like 3 years before Travis here, but we're all kind of OG. But mm-hmm. so our parents were kind of like the OG too. And if you were one of the younger ones, so my parents were teenagers. So I would imagine that your parents were a little bit older.
Yeah. So I'm the baby of my family. My mom, she had me in her 40s.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, we talk about... So I was doing some docent work. My last job, there was at the All My Relations mm-hmm. Gallery here, and there was a really great opportunity in a Dakota exhibit, Dakota, Lakota, Nakota exhibit there called Ocheti Shakowi Creation Story, and it was awesome. It was an awesome experience, and the people I met... And they talk about Howie was there. One of the art exhibits was the moon, and it talks about the different phases or represents the different phases a woman goes through. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think about that, like, when me and my sisters, who are older than me, we have two different versions of our mother. Like, when my mm-hmm. mom, she was super, like, when she had me, she was super sober, super strict, super Dakota. You know what I mean? So that's how I am, kind of the way I am because of mm-hmm. that. You know, she embedded all that stuff into me. And I think she did things on purpose. I think she had some kind of medicine. Like, she knew a lot of things that she's told me and raised me to be basically, I find myself in them situations where I get to share her voice. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that feels very, very good that I can do that.
Yeah. And I, I just recently, just within the past, I think it's 2023, I didn't even realize it until I was talking at my grandma's funeral. I was like, oh, I'm the matriarch of her side now. Like, mm-hmm. she has sisters that are still living, and they have, you know, they have older daughters and stuff, but on her, you know, her descendants, I'm the matriarch. So, and I tried to, you know, there was a lot of toxic stuff going on in my family, and I had to adjust. And, but, you know, I'm reflecting and I realized they just did the best that they could mm-hmm. with what they had. Mm-hmm. And I try to think about all the good things that they taught me. And my, you know, like every time somebody would visit my grandma, she'd go, oh, hold on. She'd go downstairs because she was kind of in between a hoarder and a pack rat kind of, but she, you know, even like if it was my friend, she'd come up and present them with a brand new blanket, or she'd always feed them for sure. Mm-hmm. But she goes, that's the way she'd say natives, like you could tell that she was kind of raised in like mission. She was at mission school. Mm-hmm. So she tried to like, she'd say the natives like they were somebody else, but she's like, that's the way the natives are. Mm-hmm. We have to give things to our guests. So I try to like go to the core of like the love that they had and like the actions that came from that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, live like that now.
Yeah.
Because I'm still here. Yeah. So I don't know. Do you find a lot of that happening in your life too?
Yeah. And I think that's really like powerful too. Like, I always, like these past few years have been really, ever since COVID, you know, I went through like a real deep depression. You know, like I'm a single father to two kids. But as soon as Bianca turned 12, which was 2023, I think, I really started trying to like heal myself, you know, like get back out there. And so these past few years, the work I've been doing and the things that I've been learning kind of or the work I've been doing that I did kind of helped open up those roots for me, you know. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate and think about those of us who came before us that got us here, you know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. I see myself like in our generation, like we're, and now it's our turn. So like when you were talking about your Kushi, was your grandma, talk about like that's what Indians do. That's powerful because she held on to those certain mm-hmm. values, you know, and how to be and conduct ourselves. And I think that's a real powerful thing. And in this world that we're in, you have to hold on to those things, though. That's what keeps us for our future generations, like our kids, like mm-hmm. everything my mother embedded into me. My mother, my sister Gabby, like when they were raising us, raised us very traditionally Dakota as they could in an urban setting. Mm-hmm. So when we were growing up, every year, first week of June, last week of July, we're heading out to Bear Butte or mm-hmm. Kyle, South Dakota for Sundance, you know. And then also here in the Twin Cities, we got a really large and really great community here, you know, native-wise.
mm-hmm.
And ceremonies that are here and stuff. So they really embedded, my mother really did her earnest to really instill those values and those ways and kind of molded who I am, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it really helped, especially like when I was growing up with me and my Toshka, Isaiah, he's like 6 months younger than me, you know, we're like grew up like brothers. And she would tell us, like she would take all us kids, and she'd show us to all the sacred sites we were growing up. And she'd be like, this is all your land. Mm. And you are princes, she would say to us. And that really helped, you know, especially living in the city. It's gets very, very, it's like chaotic. It's mm-hmm. chaos for us, you know, especially Dakota or our native people. I can only speak for myself mm-hmm. and myself alone. And so growing up here, you know, living in the city, small city, and it's just the chaos of it all. I always held on to the fact that, you know, my connection to our to the land. You know, I grew up on the west side, upper west side, like where Smith Avenue is and High Bridge. And like when I would really like get depressed or feel bad or something bad had happened, you know, I've been through some tough things. I've done bad things and bad things have happened to me, you know, as like all of us. But I would go to this overlook and just look at the St. Paul or Imanija Ska. And but being around that medicine, the plant relatives, and just I knew that I try to look at it from how my ancestors seen it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it really brought me just like I don't want to say peace, but it kept me calm and kept me grounded and just kind of just having that just that recognition of my connection to our Makoche, our land, really helped me get through really tough times living in the city, you know. But I owe it all to, you know, my family for doing that, my mother and our community too as well. Mm-hmm. And it really, really helped me get through tough times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think it's powerful for a Dakota person in Minneapolis and St. Paul to recognize who they are and know where they are, and especially amongst like the concrete jungle. I just I feel like I've been to different places and I've seen different cities where I feel like we're still very fortunate because we have green spaces and we can have those moments where we go to a park or the river and still kind of get into that space where you're like, I'm going to try to see this space like my ancestors saw this space. And it's a whole different experience. But you were talking before we started about like the meditation. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to get into this like brainwave of like catching that. And your ancestors, they're always around and they're always like kind of nudging you and whispering like, go here, do this. And you can kind of get into that that zone when you do the meditation thing. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's powerful for you to claim your Dakota and in St. Paul and Minneapolis, yeah, because people need to know. I mean, I had no idea as a kid growing up in Minneapolis about the political history and legacy of Dakota people in the space. I had no idea until like my 30s,
yeah,
about the sacred spaces. And even me as an Ojibwe woman, an Anishinaabe woman, I didn't really know. So it's very powerful.
Yeah, that, and I've really been deep diving into like our history and my family tree. And I think it's important for like our youth to know, you know, it really helps to have that knowledge. And I always just say like a little recognition goes a long way, mm-hmm, to recognize where you are, your body is in relationship to your environment. That's something my mother would always say. And just to recognize to be Dakota for me is Dakota means like allies or friends, mm-hmm, you know. And that goes along with our Ocheti Shakowi as a whole. You know, we have our seven council fires, you know, we're allied, you know, as Dakota. And I'll say this real quick, just so everybody knows. When I say Dakota as a Damakota, when I refer to Dakota, I'm referring to Lakota and Nakota, mm-hmm, as well. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was going to say otherwise or I would refer strictly to a band, certainly. Mm-hmm. You know, so when I say Dakota, I'm talking about all our people. And so I think it's important for our kids and youth to know, to have this knowledge of this, you know, this the history of our people. And it's really growing up in a city, knowing what I know and having like everybody oblivious to it. And it, mm-hmm, makes you feel a little invisible sometimes. And knowing, like having these like little stones of truth and reality of what things were, really. And when I can share it, when I could, you know, but knowing like most people don't care, mm-hmm, you know, so, and that's, that was a thing growing up, but it's also helped me though. It's helped me like mold who I am and just instilled with those values. I try to practice, patience. Mm-hmm. So that I recognize like your grandma, our grandmas, like they got us here. They had to go with the things that they've had to endure, our ancestors, just to get us to this point. And I love them for that, you know, and, I want them to be able to have some kind of peace and know that now we're taking the reins now. You know, what they brought to us, what they give it to us is in good hands. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to carry it forward like a marathon, if you will. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So that's how I try to move and operate, you know, especially for my daughters. You know, I'm everything's focused on them. So like everything my mother had taught me, my grandmother on my father's side, she's a Mohawk. She was a matriarch in herself. So I was raised around women, like matriarchal women, real traditionally Dakota, mm-hmm. traditionally Mohawk, or Ganyongehaga is what they say, what we call ourselves. And being raised around that, kind of, I just take that and then I put it and I instill it into my daughters now. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And they're the future. And anybody who will listen, I'll always open the talk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, there's so much telling us, you know, with society telling us that we're really not worth much. You know, mm-hmm. it's like we were talking at the Oyate Leadership Network and like with other, like so with BIPOC communities, and we're always the last one to be even considered as Native people. And it's like, oh yeah, I forgot we have a native perspective. So mm-hmm. we just spend so much time being told that we're not really, you know, important, or if we happen to be an afterthought, then we're lucky or something.
Yeah.
So it's super important to instill the value and like the worth onto our young people. Because we were told so much that we weren't really worth anything. So, and I feel like it starts with the land too. Like, if you get that fundamental concept of like, this is the land and this is where you come from, and mm-hmm. really empowering them that way, mm-hmm. I think that's transformational. But it's kind of hard to wrap your mind around too when you're that young, I guess. But it looks like you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I wanted to like piggyback off what you said. Like, I wanted to know also not just the values, but, like, how important our voices are.
Mm-hmm.
That's why,
mm-hmm.
like, in this day and age, like, how important our voices are, our Native voices. And I think it's really needed in this day and age. I remember where you brought up OLN, the Oyate Leadership Network, and I remember we were talking in our group about, I brought up the fact about the mentality, you know, this the mentality of the world, this the Washichu world that we're in now, like America's corporate, patriarchal, white man mm-hmm. patriarchal, that mentality, and everybody just kind of is forced into assimilation. Some just assimilate, you know, just naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, it's like, that's not our way. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's powerful that we still, you know, don't assimilate, you know, but it's hard. They talk about that walking that balance, you know, between, you know, traditional world and just trying to survive here in this world of ours, you know, that we find ourselves in. And I think our voices, you know, to not carry that mentality, whether it's like religion or money, mm-hmm. greed, you know, those aren't our ways, you know, our land, our culture, our ceremonies. I think those are keys to our future, like mm-hmm. the world needs, you know what I mean? Because the rest of the world is yearning for it, because people are depressed. People, mm-hmm. you know, everybody. You can just see anybody. Everybody's fighting, and I think that's all done by design,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so that's what's important for us to like separate and detach from, or they say decolonize, mm-hmm. right? To detach, to disconnect from that mentality, you know, and root back into our roots. There's power that in that.
Mm-hmm.
And helps build strength and power and like who we are as a Dakota or Native people.
I think about our language too, and I don't know if it was like, I remember, I don't know exactly what elder told me this, but I spent a lot of time, so I spent 8 years at Minneapolis Indian Education. And in that time I had lots of mentors, and like I was in language table, Dakota and Ojibwe language tables. I had my elder, Ida, and it was just like, it was a time where I was like, just all these light switches are flipping on, and I was just learning. And it was amazing because there was, I don't even know what moment it was, but we were in Anishinaabe Academy's old building on Lake Street.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about language, and my teacher had, we were eating oysters out of those little cans, and we had crackers. And I was sitting with two elders, and one wrote a word on the board. And I was like, that was that moment where I'm like, wait, this is kind of cool, because when I just realized that I'm in the language, like I'm part of it. And yeah. I was like, oh my God. So after that, everything started to look different. Like everything started to look new, like I was a baby, like the leaves and the colors. And I'm like, this is amazing. And it was just, and I didn't even know that much Ojibwe at the time, mm-hmm. but just the concept of like the creator made this sound for us and like encoded that sound into us when we were put here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we use. And we're the only ones on this planet that, you know, plants, they don't speak. And they don't speak the way that we do. We have this language, and we're the only ones who can pray for everybody else. And tobacco, the spirits can only get tobacco from us. Mm-hmm. Like, we're the only ones, so they kind of wait around for it. And that was like, oh! It was like being reborn. So I feel like you said, our voice is probably very unique,
mm-hmm.
because the creator gave us that kind of sound.
Yeah. They did. Yeah, language is so important. So my mother, she had breast cancer, and about 13 now, so it's been 13 years, I believe. And I know she really fought. Like, she could have left us before, but she really fought to stay longer with us. And she wanted us to know that our Dakota Yapi, our Dakota language, our Dakota Wichoha, our way of life, and that all the babies would be safe and sound, you know, before she left. And she wanted us to know those are her, what she would wanted from us, you know. And so I tried my hardest to like try to. And it's tough, but to honor her by, like, living with mm-hmm. those, like, protecting or just doing those things. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really tough. So there was another thing you had mentioned about the land. And I wanted to say, like, looking, like, the language really helps us see things through, like, our ancestors' mm-hmm. eyes, how they perceive things, you know, like... Chacha Wakpa, you know, they say the Mississippi River, you know, Chacha, they talk about that sound,
mm-hmm.
or Minnesota, the Mani, like, it's not just like that's water, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's just something, you know what I mean? It's like it brings us into when you really think about it, it's really our how we are in relationship to it. And this thing has life, it's movement, mani, you know, it flows, it's like a vibe and moves, you know what I mean? And that really helps us, like, we have water in our blood, mm-hmm. or water in our bodies, you know, the human body is made of how much percentage of water. So for Dakota people, like, mani, water, is the blood of Ia, mm-hmm. the creator, the stone, who we call Tunkashida. The little stones, you know, in our creation story, and we have water flowing through us. There's the blood of Ia, the water, Wakia, the thunder beings, you know, and Wakahadi, the lightning, you know, the that's up there in the sky. But so we have thundering lightning up there, but we also have thunder mm-hmm. lightning here. There's electricity flowing through our minds, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the Wakia, that voice, we have a voice. So to be Dakota is to recognize our oneness with all of that,
mm-hmm.
you know? There's power up there. So if there's power up there, there's power right here too within us. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's what it is to be Dakota when I say recognition, recognizing our environment, our oneness, those plant relatives, little animal relatives, they were here a lot longer than we were. You know what I'm saying? Those like little plant relatives, I see them, I think of them as like our elders, because they were here a lot longer than we were. They're going to be here a lot longer after us. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So we want to do our best to be, when I hear people say good relative, to me, that's what that is, to my recognition of our oneness with all of this creation, you know, all these beings. There's energy, there's flowing, you know. Even science today, to me, is playing catch up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have a story for that. So back to, since it's so fresh, I was doing that that docent work at the All My Relations Gallery, and I was sitting right next to Ian. So I was talking a lot about the art and relating a Dakota perspective to help people understand. And it was such awesome work, and I loved it very much. But I was on Facebook right away. You know, I get there in Facebook a little bit, and then it popped up. I don't know if it's true, because it was on Facebook, so you have to go ahead and fact check. But they say that they found a meteor that has, like, all the RDNA and DNA to, like, build all the blocks of life. And it's like, that's funny, because that's, like, the story of our creation, you know, the story, you know what I'm saying? So when it came to Earth, and it has that power to create life. And that's what I'm saying, that our oneness and our recognizing that. And that's what it means to be Dakota. So that very, very, it helps me get through life here, you know, having those values. And I did mention, was it? I think Wowachitanka, our patience. Like, I try to have patience with our people as much as possible, with myself even. It's very important. My mother raised me traditionally as she could, I had mentioned, in, you know, this urban setting, but she really, the value was Wowushida, which is compassion. That's something she really instilled in me, to try to do my best to be compassionate with all these things. You know, we're all going through it. You know, I think we're still evolving as a Native people. It's like Minnesota isn't 300 years old. It's not even 300, is it? Or is it? It's like 270-some. I don't know. It might be 300 years
old.
It's
very young.
It's very, very young. So we're still evolving, you know, health-wise. You know, my blood sugar I got to watch now. You know what I mean? Like, we're still not evolving to this. Or we're still evolving to, like, processed sugars and starches and stuff, you know. We should be eating, like, the freshest of meats and the freshest of water and vegetables, and that's how, like, who we are, to be healthy.
Yeah. Well, man, we're already at halftime.
Really?
Let's have a halftime show. No. We're just going to take a little break, but after the break, there's a lot more that I, like, there's questions that pop up as Travis is talking, and I want to dive deep, but I'm going to take a little bitty break, and then when we come back, we'll chat more with Travis Bush.
All right. Oh,
wow.
All drivers can help reduce pedestrian vehicle crashes on Minnesota roads by watching for pedestrians.
Stop for crossing pedestrians at every single corner. Pay attention and be prepared to stop for pedestrians. It's the law.
Brought to you by the Minnesota Departments of Transportation and Public Safety.
The Science Museum of Minnesota creates spaces where curiosity thrives. Through exhibits, research, and hands-on learning, the museum connects people with science and new ideas. Learn more at smm.org/mission.
Buju, we're back. You're listening to Medicine Bundle. This is your hostess with the mostest baby daddies. No, that's my little tagline, with the mostest baby daddies. And not the mostest, but I'm kind of up there. Anywho, this is Deanna Standing Cloud, and I'm here with my guest, Travis Bush, and we're going to town. We're going all in, talking about all things, just, I don't know.
City Indian.
Yeah. City. That's what I was going to say. But yeah, we were talking about just being connected to the land and, like, our identities and really getting in touch with who we are. And I feel like there is even a point. So we were talking a lot about decolonization, and I think we're going to probably be able to move past even that term, because it's not just... It's not just detoxifying. It's more like reclaiming too. Mm-hmm. And when you were talking about...
Indigenize is what
Indigenize?
Yeah, and that's one that I've heard. Sorry,
nice.
I didn't mean to cut you
that's
off.
A good one. That's a good
yeah,
one.
I've heard that before, yeah.
Indigenize. Anishinaabe-centric. Hey. Or Dakota-centric. Mm-hmm. But no, like I'm going to throw this out there and then you just kind of pick up and see where it takes you. But so we were talking about health and like taking care of ourselves. And then I was thinking about the connection to our, to the language. So the language, and you said our bodies are 70% water. Mm-hmm. The language is over 70% verbs. So I was like, well, that might be a model for how we're supposed to live. So maybe we're supposed to be active 70% of the time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, have, like, I just think of energy and, like, and just, I think that's how we got to live our life on that model is, like, staying active. And that doesn't necessarily mean, like, what we think it, like, a colonized way either. It's more like putting intentions out and creating things too. What do you think about that?
Pidamia, whoop it up for that, for real, because like you just gave like cracked like a code for me right just then and there with that perspective that you just offered. Like, yeah, because like what I was talking about, like mani, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's not just water. There's water. You know what I'm saying? It that's what it is. It's nothing else. It's alive. You know, it's movement, that action that mm-hmm. you talk about. Man, you just opened up, like, my mind just got blown there for a quick second. So, Pidamia, for
that. He got shook. Yeah. He like, where do I go? What do I do?
No, I love that. No, for real, I do. I love that. Thank you for that. Because, man, that just puts a lot of things into perspective for me, just to hear it from your voice. And it's true. So, that's, like, my problem, you know, struggling financially, you know, being a single father, you know, but being, you know, siloed in my home, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And not being active and to be active. That's what I'm really trying to do, you know, especially for my health. I want to be here for as long as I can be, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. For my daughters and, and yeah, so like I start taking better care of myself. My A1C was, I just found out it was pretty high. So I've been implementing, changing what I eat. Mm-hmm. I was really, like, I know people, every has their own food addictions. Mine was pop, mm-hmm. soda, sugar from a can, you know? And then I got, like, all last year, I was slamming up those Monster, mango Monsters. Man, those are so good. I miss them, but I can't drink them no more. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Just all the sugar and sodium in there. So it's like I'm trying to do more tea and just cut things out that I normally would and making a conscious decision to do it and act upon it. And so, like, with tea, mm-hmm. help from family and friends who've been helping me out, and that's been really, really cool. Our community is really awesome. Our community has stepped up a lot, and I owe a lot to our community and our people here. So I love y'all, for mm-hmm. you know, for helping me out in my path. You know, people might not think they have, but they have. I listen a lot, so.
Yeah, I agree, too, because, like, when I feel like sometimes I don't have, you know, an outlet or, you know, I'll do a lot of writing and I'll figure things out. Like, I'm better at, like, self-regulating mm-hmm. than I used to be, but, like, the community, like, the people around me, and I feel like it's more like on social media when I'm struggling, I'll put it out there if it's appropriate, and then I'll just get a lot of support. You know, there's always somebody like, man, you know, you're doing okay, and that's in that moment, that's all they can really do, but that's all I really needed was like sometimes I'll get a text from my sister, like, I love you, and then it's always at the perfect time, so it's we're not really together like we use, like in the decolonized sense, with our extended families. And you said you're a single dad. I've been a single mother for 26 years, so I'm kind of used to it now. And but it would be, you know, just to think about like having those extra supports around would be what that would be like. And I feel like our community reflects what, you know, kind of echoes like what it could be. And even though it's not fully what we really necessarily could use at the time, but it's enough. It's enough for me to survive and get by. Just those uplifting words, or, you know, I had a lot of like monetary support when going through a lot of the things that I go through. I had, you know, my niece last year or a couple years ago, and man, the community came threw down and like sent lots of money. And so it's just, I have so much. So yeah, shout out to y'all. You guys are the goats. Yeah, eh? Yep. Get that one.
Yeah, I love it. And you made me think of something that happened a couple weeks ago too. So I'm really into, like I said, looking into our history, our culture, and we have ways, ceremonies. We have a ceremony for everything, especially when it, like, there's all, you know, the trauma in our community. So we have like conflict resolution ceremonies. We had people who were like peacemakers, and the whole community would be involved, you know, between two disagreeing parties. And recently, just like last month, I think it was, and I had the opportunity. I tried to do this, bring like our old ways into a modern setting, which is possible. And it brings me so much joy because our community here in South Minneapolis was involved. Not everybody, but a lot. And it was so powerful and beautiful. And it made me feel really, really joyous to like know that I tried to do this at another place and it just didn't happen. And it was very disheartening and painful, you know, but to see it in fruition at somewhere else in our community and that it can work was just like, it was very moving and powerful, and I got so much more to learn, and I want to continue doing that. I think our community deserves that chance. We deserve a chance to, with everything that our history that's been done to us, before, like, even there's medicine and power, and we had ways and ceremonies for each and everything that can help us into our future. And if we could bring it in now in a modern day setting, that is like, and I have the kids that they'll see that these ways are still, they hold water, or I'm looking for the word. But, so even talking back, like, that also helped me, that I love about our community is when I first came here, because I'm not from Minnesota, I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York, and I have ties to Gunnawaga, which is in Quebec, Canada. And when I got here, I went to a school called Red Schoolhouse in St. Paul, and I'll even tell you a quick little story too. Like, I was Ojibwe for a day, for real. So, like,
good days.
Yeah.
Good
days. So I met my friend there, who's he took his journey a few years ago, and it was basically my day one best friend. And I was like, he was so cool, and he's from St. Croix, he's Ojibwe, and I remember they like split us kids up. Red Schoolhouse now, there's like, okay, all the Dakota kids go this way and all the Ojibwe kids, they here. I want to hang out with him. And then there was a girl that I liked too back then. She was Ojibwe. So I was like, let me just stay here. And I remember like, okay, Dakota kids, let's go. And then my nephew was like looking at me. He's like walking away, you know, and he's like, come on, man. He's like waving to me. Come on, what are you doing? And I'm like, nah, man, I'm going to just chill. I'm going to chill with bro and stay over here. You know what I'm saying? And they gave us this book called Meshomis Grandfather.
It's like the Meshomis book?
The Meshomis book, I think it was called. And it's like a little orange. It was not a coloring book, but it had like... And I remember it was a fun day. You know, I learned all about Ojibwe people. And I remember I brought it home and my mom was like, what is wrong with you? Like, do you know what kind of Indian you are? And I was like, yeah, I just want... Because she wanted me to bring home... my nephew, he brought home the one with, like, the teepees and the buffaloes on it. You know what I'm saying? And she wanted that book, and I brought Meshomis home. But it was cool. It was cool. But that's what I mean. Like, our community, that helped me because, like, every morning for a Red Schoolhouse, we had assembly. So I remember... I remember it was Porky, OG, people from our community. Mm-hmm. I don't remember
Porky
all their
Waite.
Names. I think so. They would all have assembly and drum and dance in the morning, and that's how they would start off the day, you know, like show our culture, you know, and we, all of us kids in the city, you know, in St. Paul on the dirty east side. Hey, I'm from the west side, so I say that. So we had that, and that helped me, like, instill, like, to let, like, all the stuff my mother would tell me or did tell me, had tell me, like, it kind of reinforced it. You know what I mean? Like, yes, we're in the city, but this is our land, and we have our ways, and we can have them here. You know what I mean? We can still not participate. What's the word? Engage or actively, you know, do them. And that helped out a lot, you know, and being around our people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That really helped out, being around our people and having, like, elders and older guys and older women who are sober and who walked that red road, you know, and who did those things, and having pipe ceremony. And at the end of the day, they would have an assembly. And I thought that really, really helped out a lot, being around our people. Mm-hmm. In this setting, we have to, it's very vital and important, mm-hmm. you know.
Man, I'm like, I'm blown away too. No, I'm shook too over here. No, I was gonna say, like, I had a guest on the show, I think in May, but her name's Crystal. Crystal Wobdom. She's Kickaboo, I think. Anyway, down south. Hey, when everyone gets down south, I like bring it. No. But I know she's related to us, like, linguistically, but really? She was talking about, we were talking about indigenous economy and the bartering system. And, like, I just envisioned, like, the more we were talking about, like, this whole contemporary, almost like a marketplace, but just based on just bartering. And that mm-hmm. I feel like nowadays, with just the economy kind of the way it is, that we have to start to think of different or new, not new, but like old ways of our own economy. And like, I pictured this whole, like, and how to do it, because like teaching kids how to barter, like, what does that mean? Like, you kind of have an idea, like, okay, that's what that means. But the skills that it needs, like the social skills, the problem solving skills that you probably would have to think about, or almost like a set, like, okay, you need this cup because it's really easy. I don't know what I'm saying, but like the marketing skills and so I kind of want to see that. That would be kind of awesome. And then having the kids maybe host it, that would be awesome.
That would be awesome. It's back to like what I was saying, you help remind me, like, we had ways like that. So years ago I was on a board, and I went to like a board training, and learning how it is, like how a board operates and who's who and what it does. And when I was growing up, because I'm Mohawk, one of my mom's friends who was Ojibwe, her name was Suki, rest in peace to her. Oh, she was wonderful. And she gave me the Iroquois Confederacy book. It was a little red, and I remember it had the pine tree on it. It had the roots below it. It had the war club underneath, and it had an eagle up on top. And it said the Iroquois Confederacy book, or the Great White Roots of Peace, I believe. And I would read it from time to time, and I wanted everybody to, I want to know this. I'm going to tell y'all this. Like, I want you to know, like, we were people of like you talk about trade. Mm-hmm. Those were our ways and business, to conduct mm-hmm. business and to operate, how we conduct ourselves dealing from nation to nation. Those are very much who we are as people. And it was like how they talk about, or how we know that the American democracy is based off the Iroquois Confederacy, you know, and they took the only difference is, to me, it's like a perverted mm-hmm. Version of it. You know, they tarnished it. You know, they took the woman's place of in power within the circle. You know, and you know, the spreading of wealth. You know, it's hoarded mm-hmm. now. You know, it's kept. So, and in knowing that, and watching and listening in this training on how the boards operate, I was like, this is in the Iroquois Confederacy book, you know, the Constitution of the Five Nations. Like, these are our ways. So it's like, they say that, like, how businesses, board members and or board of directors, and blah, those are inherently or rooted in our ways, you mm-hmm. know? So they took that even, you know, they might feel like, make it seem like, oh, we were like dumb Indians, but no, those were our ways too. They have, we have these things called the Pine Tree Chiefs. They can come in, they can speak, they can voice their opinions and try to, you know, get people to agree with them and stuff, but they have no voting power. Mm-hmm. They're in a board, I forget what it's called, But there's board people who can do that. They come in, but they have like no voting power, but they can try to influence. You know what I'm saying? There's that. It's like there were so many similarities. Mm-hmm. I was like, these are our ways.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So
I was fortunate to be in that setting and to learn that. You know, and I love that. And I want like the youth to know that, like trade and business, those are who we are. You know.
Yeah, for real. Because money. So, of course, money is the currency that we currently use in the United States. But mm-hmm. when we think of currency in the traditional indigenous sense, it's just basically the exchange of energy. So, mm-hmm. really thinking about it like that, and then reclaiming the fact that we were. Like, you know, we had the influence, we had what is it called when you're a really good orator and speaker and like that business sense, because mm-hmm. if we were to sustain our nations and our governance for thousands of years, of course we're going to be business people. And so just really looking at it, because it's been so colonized and it's been so, like, with the Oyate Leadership Network, I realize, I'm like, well, white men have been doing this the whole time, the networking thing. Mm-hmm. So really reclaiming that network. And you mentioned this weekend about the Ojibwe and Dakota exchange and how deep our relationships are. Mm-hmm. And just like looking at ourselves as very, very able and capable and having these innate skills mm-hmm. in our DNA.
Yeah. It's very much who we are as people. There's I also want to put this out there too, because I've always heard this and it irritated me. So like I hear like in movies they say, oh, you got my wampum, like as in money, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And wampum is like our wampum belts for Mohawk people or Haudenosaunee people. And my father told me, he's like, it's not money. I want the world to know this. It's more of a contract.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're dealing with, the contract. When a wampum belt is presented, it's not money. It's a contract. You're entering a contract with people or a treaty. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? That's what it is. That's the power that is, you know. And, yeah, if I were to go to court, I'm not going to put my hand on the Bible. Mm-hmm. You better bring a wampum belt or a chinupa. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying?
For
you
real.
Know what I mean? You want me to testify if I'm ever president?
You want me to tell the truth?
Yeah, you want me to tell the truth? You better have a chinupa or a wampum belt there. If I'm ever president, you know what I'm saying? I ain't put my hand on the Bible. Then that, and I'm okay with that. You know what I'm saying? So traditional. But, yeah, I just wanted people to know about that wampum thing that always just irked me.
Yeah, I bet. I mean... Because, yeah, and I have a sister, so when I went to, my mom and I didn't really, you know, we butted heads a lot. So on my senior year, I went to live with one of my dad's friends who lived on the Salish Kootenai Reservation in Montana. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, she also had, she worked at Job Corps, so Kicking Horse, and then... I call her my sister now. She is Oneida from Green Bay, and she was there. And nice. We were just sisters from the get. So she's my sister now, and I'm actually going to go up to Green Bay on August 30th. But she's a tribal historian, so she explained kind of how, this is the furthest west, the furthest West Longhouse is in Green mm-hmm. Bay, and just explaining all those things to me. So she's always instilled that and taken me to different, you know, I've been to the Longhouse and oh my gosh, it was in New York. It was a long time ago, but I was like trying to blend in, and I know they don't know I know the songs, but I'm just going to sing. And I think we even did a song, and I went up there, and I was like, do they know that I'm not from here? Hey. I'm a poser right now. But she's always, I mean, like, she's taught me so much about the Haudenosaunee people and the history and why they're in Wisconsin, and because it's so far west from the homelands,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of, yeah, they got... I can't really speak on them because I've only met some Oneida And I know there's some Seneca families out here, and there's very few of us Mohawks out here. So mm-hmm. I love when I meet any Haudenosaunee person, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Just out here in the Twin Cities. But I miss it out there. And I noticed, like, being Dakota and Mohawk, I'm learning, deep diving into our history. There's heavy history. And I have a Tahashi, a cousin, who's brilliant. And he's really been deep diving into our family tree and our history. And we found ties between our Dakota people and Mohawk people. So Ihana, long ago, it's really hard and tough, the traumatic and stuff, but there's ties to Dakota people in Montreal. And mm-hmm. I picked up this book, I forget what it's called, but it's about like slavery, like native people were slaves too, you know, and I just wanted to highlight that really quick. And a lot of like enemy tribes would take kids or women and they would sell them to, in Montreal, to like French people. And there was a group of chiefs, Dakota chiefs, who went out to like do a treaty with the French people out there in Montreal, and they found these little Dakota girls, and they saw those chiefs, and they like immediately ran to them and hugged them and started crying, you know what I mean? And then from that point on, those chiefs, they're like, hell no, nah. Then they left. No, all negotiations mm-hmm. were off at that point. And I found out that Mohawk people too, would you know, take people, you know, even Dakota people, and they have a name for us. And I don't know how to say it. I'm still learning. So, you know, forgive me for that. But it wasn't for to sell, but it was more to, like, adopt and take in. You know, mm-hmm. they really liked the Dakota people and to bolster their numbers, if you will, because the Mohawk people were so adamant and very active mm-hmm. in, you know, war, yeah. whatever, out there in the East during the history. And I just find it really just fascinating about our history, and it is traumatic, you know. There's a lot of trauma there, and I just encourage everybody to just do that, like deep dive into your history and culture and family trees, and there's it tells a lot about who we are. There's mm-hmm. one thing I'll say that I say a lot to like non-native people, and my mother told me this. So like I said, she raised us in the ceremonies, and but in my late teens and 20s, I was really bad. You know, I grew up in the city, so I was really shittyena, she would say to me. And this is like means naughty in Dakota. It's not a swear word. it's a that's a Dakota word. Yeah, that's not a. It sounds bad, but it's not. That's a Dakota word. And she would always tell me, though, she'd go to ceremonies, so I wouldn't go to them ceremonies. You mm-hmm. know, and she told me that there was in this certain ceremony, you know, and elders, they get to speak, and there was like some kind of little internal conflict, nothing too big between these helping people, or Washichu, or non or white people, who are helpers, and there was like a conflict between the two. And he got up and he spoke to them, telling them like this isn't the place for that. But he said to them, he said, "Go find your drum," And then he explained that. He's like, no matter who you are or where you want on earth, you have a drum where you come from. You have roots, mm-hmm. where ties to the land, roots very deep. In that drum, you have that your culture, you have language, you have history, you have music, you know, and find that. And there's power and strength there. So that way, when you find it, you learn it, you love it. Then when you ready to come back to this hochoka, the circle with us, you know, you have something to share, mm-hmm. not just take. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? and I know this is true. Like, when I talked to, remember I brought up about mentality, that Washichu mentality versus a traditionally Dakota or Native mentality. They're completely opposite, separate, mm-hmm. you know? And when I meet other indigenous people, you know, they could be like Somali in an Uber, you know. He knows his land, he knows his language, so when I talk about sacred sites to him, mm-hmm. you know, he knows what I'm talking yeah. about. They have sacred sites where they're from. And that's what I think is important for all people. When I talk to like just people who are just American, mm-hmm. you know, it's like talking to a wall, you know, and it's sad. So that's why that Wo'ushida kicks in, that compassion, because I'm looking at it from a point of compassion.